السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، بقول الله عز وجل في محكم تنزيله وعز من قائل بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض، ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: البيعان بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا، فإن صدقا وإن بينا بورك لهما في بيعهما، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, beloved brothers, and all those who are listening online on different platforms, we commence by praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. We ask Almighty Azza wa Jal to send His special mercies, blessings and salutations upon the noblest and choicest of all creation, our beloved master and leader, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with his family members, with his companions, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and all those who follow in their footsteps till the end of time. Respected brothers, currently if we look at the situation in the world, throughout the globe, we see that there is a financial crisis. And in our country, and in many other countries of the world, that are experiencing what we call an economic recession, economic meltdown. Now, prices are going high, jobs are scarce, and people are concerned and worried about risk and sustenance. This is something, it's human nature for us to be concerned about our risk and sustenance. It's human nature for us to be concerned and worried to protect ourselves and our family members. In today's pre-khutbah talk, I would like to remind myself and you of an amazing concept as mu'mineen, as believers, that we believe in that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to bless something, then the quantity doesn't matter. To maximize the quality of something, then the quantity doesn't matter. And this, what we refer to as barakah, we refer to as a loose translation in English is blessings. So al-barakatu min Allah, barakah and blessings, this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is blessed, and Allah ta'ala is the source of blessings. And in many verses of the Quran, Allah ta'ala explains this, tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, tabaraka alladhi nazzal al-furqan. That barakah and blessings is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of blessings. It originates from Allah. Now what is this concept of barakah? What we refer to as al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbabi al-qaleela. Maximum benefit with minimum provision. Maximum benefit, minimum provision. Now if we study the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are countless examples where Sahaba witnessed this firsthand, and these narrations have come to us that a minimum, a small quantity, whether it was food, whether it was water, whether it was time, barakah is in various different. It's not only in money or not only in wealth, but there's barakah in wealth, there's barakah in time, there's barakah in health, there's barakah in life, in various different aspects. Let us look at, study one or two incidents from the seerah first, before we move on to this topic. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, it was the battle of Khandaq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is busy digging the trench with the Sahaba, and he notices frailty and hunger on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He could not perceive to see this. He went to his home and he asked his wife that, what do we have? Is there something that we can prepare for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? She said, I have some food which will suffice a few people, maybe 5 to 6 people. So you can invite the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with about 5 or 6 people. Jabir radiallahu anhu goes and he tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that my wife has prepared food, but it's only sufficient for just a few people. And he mentioned that five or six. Few moments had passed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an i'lan, an announcement, Ya Ahl al-Khandaq, O people of Khandaq, come to the house of Jabir. Sahaba were more than 1,000 in number. More than 1,000 in number. What would happen in our situation? Jabir radiallahu anhu rushes home. He tells his wife, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. But subhanallah, what was the mizaj and the temperament of Sahaba? His wife said, did you tell the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we had food that is sufficient for so many people? He said, yes. He said, then no need to worry. So nevertheless, the Sahaba come. It is mentioned in the narrations, more than 1,000 people ate from that food and they were still left over. So this is barakah. Food that was sufficient for 5 or 6 people was sufficient for more than 1,000 people. On another occasion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. He says that I was extremely hungry and thirsty. I followed the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his house in hope that maybe he would offer me something to eat or drink. We entered the home and we found that someone had come and brought a glass of milk. And it was there in a utensil. And I was hoping that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would offer this to me. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, O Abu Huraira, go and call the people of Suffa. Now the Ahlu Suffa were more than 100 in number. Abu Huraira immediately thought to himself, he said that this might just be sufficient for me, plus I'm so thirsty. You know, maybe I'll drink this and maybe one or two more glasses. If we're calling the Ahlu Suffa, there's no chance I'm going to get anything. But nevertheless, obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I kept my desires aside and I went and I called the Ahlu Suffa. One by one they came and they drank. Each of them drank to their heart's content, and the milk still did not go down. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, after all of them had drank, he said, O Abu Huraira, it's only you and I. Just two of us that are left. O Abu Huraira, your turn to drink. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I took the glass with relish, I started drinking. And I drank and I drank and I drank till my heart's content that I could not drink anymore. But subhanallah, there was still milk in the glass. There was still milk in the glass. Now this is an example of barakah. Now we might say that, okay, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest, most noblest creation of Allah. That's why he had barakah. That's why he had blessing. Something that was sufficient for 1, 2 people, multiplied 1,000 times, manifold benefit. So many people benefited. But you and I, how can we do that? How can we get barakah? So maybe, or definitely for sure, we cannot reach the status and the stage that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached, or maybe many of the pious predecessors. But each and every one of us as mu'mineen, as believers, we have the ability and we have the capacity of putting barakah and blessings in our health, in our wealth, in our time, in our lives. And how? In these few moments that we have, I'm going to share with you a few ways from the Quran and Hadith, how we can attain and how we can bring barakah in our lives. Number one, the most powerful mechanism and the most powerful tool of bringing barakah in our lives is to bring taqwa in our lives. Now what is taqwa? Taqwa is the consciousness of Allah. That whenever we do something, we do it with the concept that Allah is aware of what I am doing. Allah is looking at me. And I'm answerable to Allah for this. So with this, keeping this in mind, taqwa, or translated as the fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah. And I'm sure there's been many bayans and discourses on how to attain taqwa. But if we bring taqwa in our lives, Allah says, I'll give you barakah. And we learn this from the Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ Allah says, if only the people of the qura, if the people of the village, if they adopted taqwa, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا If they brought iman and they brought taqwa, Allah says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ We would have opened up for them the barakat, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. So number one, we bring taqwa in our lives. Number two, we attach ourselves to a source of barakah. We attach ourselves to a source of barakah. And what is a source of barakah? Or what is the greatest source of barakah? The greatest source of barakah is the Quran Kareem. Because the Quran is the speech of Allah which came from Allah. And I mentioned previously, Allah is blessed and Allah is the source of blessings. So everything related to the Quran is a source of barakah. Listening to the recitation of Quran, reciting the Quran oneself, pondering and reflecting over the Quran, understanding the Quran, speaking about the Quran, everything related to the Quran is barakah. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك Allah says, the book we have revealed to you, it is مبارك. It is blessed. ليدبروا آياتي That you may ponder and reflect over the verses of Quran. So this is the second way how to attain barakah is to attach ourselves to the Quran. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي يُتْلَى فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ The house in which the Qur'an is recited, يَتَّسِعُ بِأَهْلِهِ That house expands for the inhabitants of the home, of the household. How does it expand? Does it get bigger? If it's one room, does it become two rooms? No. It expands in terms of joy, happiness, contentment. Allah puts itminan and sukoon and contentment. Wa kathura khayru, goodness increases. Wa tahduruhu al-malaika, the angels attend such a household. Wa tahjuruhu shayateen, and the shayateen move away. Because where the Quran is recited, the malaika come. The malaika, the pure creation of Allah, they bring peace, itminan, contentment. When there is pure creation, the impure creation move away, which is the shayateen. So Quran, a source of barakah. So if you want barakah in our lives, read the Quran. Listen to the Quran. Make an effort to understand the Quran. Propagate the message of the Quran. Everything related to the Quran is a source of barakah. Number three is obedience to the sunnah. If we make intention, not only intention, but we implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life, this will be a source of barakah. This will be a means of us getting barakah in our lives. Simple example. Countless examples from the hadith, but I'll suffice with one, because time is running out. Some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we eating, but after eating, we're not becoming satisfied. We're eating food, but our hunger is not being satiated. We're not getting satisfied. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّكَ أَيَّتَفَرَّقَ Maybe, perhaps, you are eating on your own. You're eating individually, you're not eating collectively. They said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, we're eating on our own. We're eating individually. Each one is eating on their own. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you eat together, Allah will bless the food. Allah will bless the food. In another hadith we learn, Ta'amul wahid yakfil ithnain. People eating together, food that is sufficient for one person will become sufficient for two. Food that is sufficient for two people will become sufficient for four. This is the meaning of barakah. So when we implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, Allah will grant barakah. Whether it is in our food, whether it is in our drink, or in any other aspect of our lives. This was number three. Number four, another way of bringing barakah in our lives. Now we got taqwa. MashaAllah, we got Quran. We got obedience to sunnah. But now if we just sit and we say now all day we're reading Quran, are we going to get more money? We make an effort. Make an effort and start early. Start early. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua for us. He made a dua for his ummah. He said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, bless my ummah in the morning time. Bless my ummah in the early hours of the morning. The narrator of this hadith, Sakhr bin Wada'a al-Ghamidi radiyallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made this dua. So he taught us verbally to, and he showed us, he made this dua and practically he showed us any expedition, any army that was going out, he would send them out early in the morning. So Sakhr said, I took this hadith, I was a tajir, I was a businessman. And he said, early morning I would also send my merchandise out, I would trade. As a result of this, Allah made me very rich. Allah made me very rich. The narrator of the hadith, he is telling us. So he heard the hadith, he practically implemented it, and he said, I saw the benefit in my life. So to work hard and to start early. Now if a person is doing everything else, but he's sleeping till noon, and he say, now there's no barakah. No, the Sharia teaches us what? We have to make an effort. Make an effort. So whatever it is, whether we're studying, whether we're working, but do it diligently. And do it, work hard, and also start early. In this we will find there is barakah and there is blessings. So this is also one way that the ulama have said how we can attain and bring barakah in our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith tells us as well that Allah will provide for you. And look at the birds. Look at the tawakkul that they place in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you had to place your tawakkul in Allah like how the birds place their tawakkul and trust in Allah, then Allah would also provide for you like how He provides for the birds. And look at the birds. They leave their mornings, or they leave their nest in the morning on an empty stomach, and they return in the evening with their bellies full. But what is the lesson? That they don't sit in their nest. They also fly out and they go looking for the seed, and Allah provides it for them. So the same way, we make an effort, but we start early. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah and blessings. Another way, brothers, of bringing barakah, attracting barakah in our lives, is to deal with others in a good manner. To be good to others, especially our relatives. Especially our relatives. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, man ahabbahu ay yubsata fi rizqihi. Whoever wishes for his risk to be extended, aw wa ay yunsa lahu fi athrihi, and whoever wishes for his life to be prolonged. All of us wants to live for a long period of time. All of us wants our wealth and our sustenance to be blessed and to increase. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the prescription. What he said? He said, "Fal yasil rahimah," that maintain good ties. Maintain good ties with people, with everyone, with our neighbors, with our friends, and especially with our relatives and our family members. Be good to people. Deal with people in a good, with good akhlaq, with good character. Be kind to people. This is something that attracts the barakah and the blessings of Allah. فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said, he said, maintain ties. Allah will bless you in your sustenance and Allah will bless you in your life. Another way, brothers, of attracting the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be honest. To have honesty in our dealings. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Al-bayyan, the buyer and the seller, two people that are concluding a transaction. And one is buying something from the other. The fa'in sadaqa, if both of them are truthful to one another. Both of them are truthful. Wa'in bayyana, they say it as it is. You're selling a car, you tell the person, these are the faults of the car. The handbrake is not working. The gearbox is faulty. Outwardly it seems what? If I disclose the faults of this item, it seems I'm going to get less money. But in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا You disclose the faults of the item that you're selling, Allah will bless you in your transaction. Against logic, brothers. Iman, Islam is something that is supra-logical. What our mind and logic is telling us, this is something else. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, two people concluding the transaction, they are truthful to one another. They disclose the fault of the item. بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا Allah will bless them in that transaction of theirs. وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا But if they lie, if they deceive one another, if they conceal the faults, you sold the item, you got away with it. You never disclose the defect. A month later, the brother finds out the problem. He'll probably curse you, but there's nothing he can do now. The transaction is concluded. Muhiqat. Rasulullah ﷺ said the barakah and the blessings of that transaction is taken out. So one way of attaining the barakah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through honesty. Another way, and we'll conclude with this, the last one, brothers. How to get barakah and blessings in our life? We make dua for barakah, we make dua for blessings. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this. In fact, dua-i qunut. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَ If you're reading for yourself, وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَنَا Oh Allah, bless us in that which you have given us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua. Oh Allah, grant us barakah, grant us blessings in that which you have provided for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu a dua, beautiful dua. At the time of wudu, we recite this dua. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins, expand for me my house and bless me in my sustenance. Bless me in my sustenance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu this dua. He said, Oh Abu Huraira, read it. Abu Huraira read it. He said, is there anything more you need in your life? He said, no, ya Rasulullah. This dua will suffice for you. This dua, if Allah forgives your sins, makes your home comfortable, blesses you in your risk and sustenance, what more do you need? What more do you need? So we ask Allah for barakah and we ask Allah for blessings. We ask Allah for blessings. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me. Anas radiallahu anhu was small. His mother brought him and placed him in the service, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was a youngster. Ya Rasulullah, people are bringing you gifts to present to you. I present to you my son that he may serve you. Now generally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not accept such an offer. But he saw the genuineness in the mother and in the son, he accepted. He accepted the offer. Anas radiallahu anhu stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. 10 years. He said, I serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not once did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raise his voice to me. Or did he tell me, oof. Did he even tell me, oh Anas, why did you do this or why did you not do that? This was the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that period, Anas radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me. And what dua? He made dua for barakah. And he said, the effect of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that Allah blessed me with such a huge fortune. Allah blessed me with an abundance of risk so much that anything I touched, literally it turned to gold. People would come to me and say, "Oh Anas, please be my partner in business." Because they knew if Anas radiallahu anhu was there, they would be successful. Allah bless me with so much of wealth. Allah bless me with so much of children. They say Anas radiallahu anhu's children and grandchildren out was more than 100. More than 100 in his lifetime. He was one of the longest living Sahaba. He died at the age of 110. This is the effect of what? The dua for barakah. This was Rasulullah's dua, but we can also make dua. Brothers, we conclude. Important, very important topic, that we need this amazing concept of barakah. It's something that's not difficult. I told you many ways of how we can get barakah in our lives. Amongst them it was taqwa. Amongst them was the Quran. Amongst them was following the sunnah. Being honest in our dealings. Starting early and making an effort. Making dua for barakah. These are amongst a few of the many ways that we can bring barakah in our lives. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that firstly He blesses me and He blesses each and every one of us and the entire ummah. He blesses us in our health, in our wealth, in our lives, and we can experience and witness this aspect of barakah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.